Just close. Just close.
Good evening. Let's all stand together and we'll sing hymn number 512. 512. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Thank you, and be seated. Hymn number 67. 67. Oh, Savior, as my eyes behold the wonders of thy might untold, the heavens in glorious light arrayed, the vast creation thou hast made, and yet to think thou lovest me. My heart cries out, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? As at the cross I humbly bow and gaze upon thy thorn-crowned brow and view the precious bleeding form by cruel nails so bruised and torn, knowing thy suffering was for me, in grief I cry, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be? Was ever grace so full and free? From heights of bliss to depths of woe, in loving kindness thou didst go. From sin and shame to rescue me, O love divine, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be?
Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I want to bring a message tonight, threefold chords, threefold chords. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. Deliver me not over under the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. O Lord, our blessed Father, our blessed Master, our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God over all, who is God Himself, who come down to save sinful souls like ourselves, identified with us, O Lord, took our place that we might be able to have what He has. And Lord, we bless You that You have mercy upon us. Bless You for Your grace. Bless You for Your patience and long-suffering with us. And I thank You, Lord, for the preacher You sent away this last Lord's Day. Thank You for what You gave him to say. And I pray he was made a blessing to the saints here. And Lord, I pray for my lost loved ones. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. They don't have any interest at all. But I remember when I didn't have any interest. But Lord, You created an interest in me. You've done something for me that only You could do. So I trust that in sovereign mercy and for Christ's sake that You'd go after our families, go after our sons and daughters, go after our children and grandchildren, go after our son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws, go after our husbands and wives. Oh, Lord, You can go after them. And when You go to get them, Lord, You'll bring them. You've got the power. You've got the will. If it please You to do so, You've got the blood to pay for their sin. You've got the righteousness to give unto them. So, Lord, we look unto You. And, Father, we pray for those who are not with us through Your providence and pray that You would continue to bless Your dear saints whose bodies are frail, bodies are weak, who are going through a great fight of afflictions. And bless my preacher brethren as they stand tonight to preach the gospel of the grace of God. We bless You in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 125. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Here in the 27th Psalm, I'm going to deal with things by threes. And the verses that I'll use, they'll break them down into three things. There's a lot of threes in here. And I want to read a verse of Scripture out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. You don't have to look at it if you don't want to, but I'll read it to you, because this is what I'm trying to say tonight. In verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you take two people that helps one another, put Christ, and you can't be broken. You can't be broken. It won't be broken. And that's what I'm going to deal with tonight, threefold cords. And the first one is in verse 1. Let me show you this. The confession and acknowledgement. Look what it says. The first one is, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. You know, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and has shined in our hearts to give light, to give light. That word light also means understanding, to give light and to see the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. They asked John, said, are you that light? He said, no, I'm not that light. I sent to bear witness of that light. That light is Jesus Christ himself. The Lord is my light. What light would we have if it wasn't for Christ? If it wasn't for him. He is my light. I need him to be my light. Our Lord said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And you know, I need him to be my light. I want him to be my light. And the only people who confess that they need the light and want light is people that know what it's like to be in darkness. When you brought out of darkness into his light, that's what Peter said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises to him that called you out of his darkness, calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'd be still in darkness if it hadn't been for God not being our light, for God not coming and turning on the light. People say, oh, you know, we're sitting in the dark. I don't care how long you live in a house. I don't care how many times you go through that house. If you get up in the middle of the night in the darkness, you're going to bump something. You're going to hit something. You got to feel around like this here. And that's the way it is with people that don't know the light of Christ. They're just stumbling around, bumping into everything. But, oh, he is my light. And another thing is, in this verse 1 is, here's the second thing. The Lord is my salvation. Not only is He my light, but He's my salvation. He's my salvation. We confess. You know, when you say the Lord's my salvation, you know what you're saying? I need salvation. I can't save myself. I can't do anything for myself. So if the Lord's my salvation, that means that I don't have nothing to do with it. That means that I couldn't contribute anything to it. He Himself is my salvation. From Alpha to Omega, He's our salvation. From beginning to end, He's what He started, He'll finish. And I tell you what, here's the thing. We were so lost, so sinful, so blind, is so helpless, in such a desperate condition that only God could save us and only the Lord could be our salvation. When we say salvations of the Lord, I don't mean He just saves us one time and leaves us alone. Salvations of the Lord from before the foundation of the world till He carries us all the way to eternity. It's a miracle that we're saved at all. It's a miracle that we stay saved. And it'll be a miracle when we enter into glory. Amen. Everything God done for us is supernatural. The Lord is my salvation. Right. He didn't need my help. Didn't ask for my help. He didn't ask if I needed anything. He just said, He is my salvation. Oh my. You know, He was sent. You know what He is sent to do? To save us. From what? From sin. You know what He is sent to do? I come to seek. Seek. He said, I don't want to sit, but to seek. Who's He seeking? The lost. Sinners. That's what He come to seek. Oh my, the Lord's my salvation. And then look again here in verse 1. Here's the first three things. The Lord is the strength of my life. I've heard preachers say, I've heard several people say, and this is natural man. He says, the Lord, you know, the Lord will use what strengths I have. Oh, you ain't got no strength. If you had any strength, you wouldn't need Christ. If you had any strength, you wouldn't need saving. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. We don't have no strength. If we have anything, God gave us. Who makes you to differ? How do you stand in this world? How do you live in this world? What strength do you go by? I don't have any strength to stand on my own. No. Oh, my. Oh, here. We don't have any. Well, all we got is weaknesses. That's all we got's weaknesses. I told the folks up at Wheelersburg, I said, all a baby can do and all a little child can do is make a mess. Somebody has to clothe them. Somebody has to clean them. Somebody has to fix them up when they get hurt. And that's the way we are. We're like a baby. Christ has to clean us up, has to heal us, has to get rid of our messes. And when we fall, He has to pick us up. We can't even get up by ourselves. Oh my. Paul said it like this. He said, lest I be exalted because of above measure, because of all the revelations that Christ has given me. He said, there was sent unto me a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And it buffeted me. And I said, I asked the Lord one time, take it away from me. Ask Him the second time, take this thorn away from me. Ask Him the third time. You know what He told him? He said, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to leave it right where it's at. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that's why He said, I ain't going to talk about my strength. If I talk about anything, I'm going to talk about how weak I am, how frail I am. Oh my. I tell you what, we go in the strength of the Lord. We could never go in the strength of the flesh. We would rather, we'd just falter and fail. Look over here in Psalm 33 with me. Look at Psalm 33. Go over here in Psalm 33. And look in verse 16. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. But oh, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Ain't nothing can save a man but God. Not a horse, not a mighty man, not a king. Only Christ. We go into strength. And let me give you another one. Psalm 46. Just look at this. It's just one verse here. Everybody knows this. You remember it very well. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge. We got a hiding place. Oh, our refuge. And listen to this. And strength. God's our refuge and strength. And I love this. A very present help. Very present help in trouble. That means when you're in trouble, he's right there. Always present help. Very present help. Oh, that's why he said, to whom shall I be afraid? Then let me show you another three things. That's the first three things. The Lord's my light, my salvation, my strength. Look down here in verse 4. Here's another one. Talking about these threefold cords. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh my. He said, you know, here's a threefold desire. You know what he desired to do? Dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, to dwell in the house of the Lord is to abide with him. To dwell with somebody is to abide with them. And you know, it's an expression of affection for the Lord himself. We sang that song, change and decay all around I see, thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's what he said, dwell in the house of the Lord. It means he abide with him. And oh my, it's an expression of affection for the Lord himself. Our Lord Jesus was on the road, on the Damascus road. And when they got to the end of the way, there were these disciples that was walking in them. They said, Lord, abide with us. Come in and abide with us. The day's about gone. Come in and abide with us. And you know what the Lord did? He went in. And he abided with them. Oh, Lord, abide with us. Oh, my. And you know it says, our Lord said, in my Father's house, lots and lots of mansions. And I come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be with me. And David said it this way, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what's going to happen then? I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a long time. That's a long time. Here's the second desire. First was to dwell in the house of the Lord. Here's the second. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, the glory of the Lord. You know, it says over in Isaiah 53, it says, there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. But once you see him, God gives you the sight to see him, and he gives you the light to see him. He becomes the most beautiful. Everything about our Lord's beautiful. Everything about him is beautiful. You know, when you start talking about the Lord, how beautiful is his love. You ever seen anything more beautiful than the love of Christ? Loved us with an everlasting love. Anything more beautiful than the grace of God that came to where we was, and grace sought us, grace bought us, Grace will bring us home. Anything more beautiful than grace that came to us and done so, and opened our hearts, saved us, and keeps us? Oh my. What about mercy? Anything more beautiful than mercy? When you ask for mercy, do you get it? How beautiful it is, how precious it is when God sends mercy. Oh my. And oh, how beautiful is His compassion. How beautiful is His holiness. How beautiful is His righteousness. And oh, listen, when you're like me, when you're like me, and sorry as I am, you're talking about a beautiful attribute is His patience. Oh, so patient with me. Oh, how patient He is. And oh, and I'll tell you another attribute that's so precious to me and so beautiful, being the person that I am, His long-suffering. His long-suffering. He suffers so long with me. And you know how long He'll suffer with me? Till He takes me all the way to glory. Uh-huh. But He'll suffer long with me until He takes me home. What a beautiful attribute that is. Patience and long-suffering. Grace and mercy. Oh, my. I'll tell you, this was the part that Mary chose. She saw such beauty in Him, sat at His feet and learned of Him. Here's the third desire. Not only dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, but all, look what it says here in verse 4 again. And He says this, and to inquire in His temple. I want to inquire of the Lord. When He says inquire in His temple, that means that you're going to inquire of Him. You're going to talk to Him. You're going to converse with Him. And you know, in the temple, our Lord was often in the temple, and they come in there and do things in the temple. But the temple, it represents this building that you are in. And if God, you ask God of anything, you know, you ask Him if wisdom, He'll give it to you. But oh, and to, how in the world do we inquire in His temple? You know the reason you're here tonight? Is you're here to inquire. See what He has to say in His Word. We're inquiring in His Word right now. I'm inquiring in His Word. That's what we're here to do, to inquire. Let's inquire in God's Word and see what He has to say. Oh, my. And I'll tell you something. To inquire in His temple means, Lord, I want to come. I want to talk to You. I heard a lady say the other day, she said, I got a lot of questions for God. I got a lot of questions for God, and I don't know if He's able to answer them. But let me tell you something. You ain't never got a question that God's Word will not answer. You think about it. This has happened so many times over the years. People get together and they'll talk about some verse of Scripture, talk about something in the Bible, and they'll say, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that understands. I believe I'll ask the preacher. And then you get say, well, I'm going to go to church and ask the preacher. About the time you're ready to ask it, he'll preach exactly what you're wanting to ask. Huh? Ain't that amazing how God does that? Bruce Daly used to say, he got in my mailbox today. That's what he said. He said, he read my mail today. And how's that doing? I didn't know what it's. You don't know what's going on. But God does. God does. And that's why we're here, to inquire. Lord, speak to me. Lord, let me learn from You. If I got a question, Lord, I'm going to go to You. And I'm going to wait on You to give the answer. And He'll give the answer. Oh, my. And that's why we've come here to learn. Inquire in His temple. Let me give you, that's three. Dwell in the house of, that's threefold desire. Dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold Him in His beauty, and to inquire in His temple. And then let me give you a three-chord privilege here. Look in verse 5. I didn't know if I'd get through this tonight, but I believe I will. Look what he says in verse 5. What a threefold privilege for us here. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. Shall He hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. Now, all three privileges here. First of all, said He's going to hide me in His pavilion.
Oh, my, you know, the safest place in the world for any soul is to be hid in God. For God to hide you. What does he hide you from? Sin, judgment, justice, wrath. He hides us. He's going to hide us in his pavilion. And that word hide means to cover. It means to hedge in. It means to protect. And when's he going to do this? He says, in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble. I was talking to a dear, dear preacher friend of mine. He's been diagnosed with a kind of progressive cancer, and they don't know if it's spread or not, but he'll know next week what the treatment things are going to be. But to make a long story short, he said, me and him was talking about it, and he says, you know, like Scott used to say, you want a believer's one of three places. He's going into trouble, he's in trouble, or coming out of trouble. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And then when the time of trouble, and this fellow is calm as a cucumber, his kids ask him, Daddy, are you just pretending to be strong? He said, no, this ain't bothering me. I'm not worried about it. He's calm as he can be. No. He said, when the trouble comes, God's going to hide you. Hide you from what? The trouble. He'll put no more up on you than you're able to bear. And with your temptation, he's going to make a way to escape. Where are you going to escape at? Into his peace, into his comfort, into his strength, into his ability, into his providence. Where else are we going to hide? Oh, he'll hide us in his pavilion. We're protected by his gracious providence. Oh, my. None of us, not one of us, would be here tonight and lived our whole lives unless God had ordered every step we took. How many times have we been in danger? I was talking to a fellow the other day, and we were talking about up in Claremont County, and I told him, I said, when I was just a boy, 15 years old, and I'm not bragging here, I'm sad, I'm ashamed of it, but he is talking about going up to Batavia, and as I said, that's in Claremont County, ain't it? He said, yeah. I said, you know, I was up in the fifth tier of a barn, tobacco barn, hanging tobacco one time at 15 years old. Sheriff come down there and called me out of that barn. Took me to jail and put me in jail in Claremont County. And I said, I ain't going to own up to nothing. I just wouldn't own up to nothing. But what I'm telling you is this, that all everything that's ever happened, went through Vietnam, I've been through many dangers, toils, and snares. Grace has brought me this far. And that's the way it is. How in the world did we come from the time we was babies to where we're at right now without God not hiding us in his pavilion? Huh? Without him not protecting us by his grace. And oh my, so I tell you, he hides us in his pavilion. Then look what the next thing it says there in verse 5. He said, not only that, but he'd hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. He puts us in a place that only he knows. We don't even know it when we get there. He said he puts us in this secret of his tabernacle. Oh my. And I tell you, that you know, with the tabernacle, let me tell you three things about that. First of all, the tabernacle was God ordered it. He said, you make it just exactly like I tell you to make it. Then secondly, he said, this is the place that I'll meet you. Thirdly, this is the only place where a sacrifice will be accepted. And Christ, when the word says the flesh was dwelt among us, that means the word tabernacled among us. Christ tabernacled among us. And you know what that means? That God will only meet us in Christ. You know what that means? That God will only accept the sacrifice where this is at. And this means that there's only one place that God will give us his Shekinah glory, and that's in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh my, I want you to see this. You keep Psalm 27. Look in Colossians chapter 3.
We need to see this. And I've quoted it so many times over the years, but it'll be good to look at it. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, he hides us in his secret tabernacle, in the secret of his tabernacle. But oh, look what he said here in Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, on things above, not on things of the earth. Now listen to this. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh my. Now that's a secret place. The world don't know anything about it. And hiding in the secret of his tabernacle, a place where only he knows, and the natural man don't know nothing about it. And I tell you what, oh, we're hid in Christ, hid in God, and hid in his tabernacle. And the third one is, not only does hide me in his pavilion in the time of his trouble, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and we're hid with God in Christ, then look what he says in the third thing there. Here's the third thing here about this privilege that we have. He shall set me upon a rock. And listen, there's a rock. Get up on it the best way you know how. That's not what he said. He shall set me on a rock. And you know what Christ is called? Rock. Christ our rock. He was the smitten rock. He's our rock in a weary land. He's that cleft in the rock. when you start sitting on a rock, and the scriptures tells us that we're built, our house is built on a rock, not on sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh my. He set it on us on it. We didn't climb up to it. Oh, bless his name. We may move, He hath picked me up out of a miry clay and set me on a rock. And then it says he established my goings. Oh, my. We may move around on the rock, may even fall on the rock, but we'll never fall off the rock. And that rock, and bless his name, that rock will never fall on us, never fall on us. Never, ever fall on us. Okay, let's go back over here in Psalm 27. Threefold privilege, hiding in his pavilion, secret of his tabernacle, and set us on a rock. And then here's a three-chord assurance. Look in verse 8. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Do you know what this means? This means effectual. God said, seek my face. You reckon if God said, seek ye my face, that you're going to seek his face? And when you talk about the face, you're actually talking about the person. You're talking about the person. And when God talks about the face, he's talking about the face of Christ, the person of Christ. And when he said, seek my face, you know what our heart says? Lord, here I come. I'm going to start seeking you. I'm going to seek your face. Oh, my. And that means it's an effectual calling. That's what it is. When God says, seek my face, we're going to seek his face. We're going to seek his person. And oh, my, how can we make our calling and election sure? Because God said, seek me. And we seek him. We cannot do anything else. And oh my. And when we talk about his face, that God calls it, when he calls his face to shine upon us. Oh my. We see his face. We see his glory in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see his face. We see his person in his precious word. We see his face in God's blessed providence. And you know what?
when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." You know, that's not when we get to eternity. That's right now. We see God right now. We behold his face right now. Oh, my. And then second thing is this of assurance, is fellowship. Look down verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. And listen to this now. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He says, thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Leave me not. I am so thankful that our Lord said, I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, you know what? I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. That's what our Lord said. Nobody's going to pluck you out of my Father's hands. I mean, our Lord, in our fellowship, and this is a fellowship, you know, thou hast been the help of my life, the fellowship with the Lord. Leave me not. Don't forsake me. And you know, and John said it this way. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our fellowship. Look in Psalm, look in Isaiah 49. Look in Isaiah 49. You're talking about fellowship and unity and being able to. Fellowship means that you get along. You have this communion. Fellowship and communion is the same thing. And look what he said here in Isaiah 49, verse 16. Yeah, verse 15. 14, excuse me. Isaiah 49, 14. But Zion said, Zion's the church, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Why don't you, Lord? Behold, I have craven thee upon the palms of my hands. Oh, my, I've craven thee. When he put those nails in his hands, he craved our names right there. And so fellowship, now let's look at his favor. Look at grace, another third thing of assurance, threefold assurance. Here's a third thing in verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh my, you're talking about grace. Grace. When my mother and father forsake me. Many a mother and a father forsook their children. Lots and lots of them, lots of them, lots of them done it. Walked off and left their children. Left them to the world. Left them to anybody that would take them. And when my father and my mother forsake me, you know what the Lord will do? He'll come in, and in the margin said, he'll gather me. Our Lord said, I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. He said, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to put my arm, I'm going to gather you. I'm going to gather you. They won't gather you, but I will. And you're talking about grace. You're talking about favor. You're talking about love. Everybody, you know, he is faithful. He finds lost sheep when they are so alone, and he takes them up. He takes them up. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. Oh, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to be, our Lord's our father, our mother, our brother, our sister. He is everything that we need in this world. Oh, my. And then let me hurry. Look here in verse 11 and 12. Here's a threefold prayer, three-chord prayer. Look in 11 and 12. Here's the first thing, the first one, first chord. Teach me thy way. O Lord, teach me thy way. We sang that song, teach us thy way, O Lord. O Lord, teach me thy way. I don't want my way, I want your way. And the Lord has to be the one to teach us. Yeah. He's got to be the teacher. And Lord, teach us how you save a sinner. Teach us how you can be just and justify sin. That's the question of all the ages. How can God be just and justify? Teach us, O Lord, ourselves. Teach us ourselves. Teach us our frailty. Teach us to number our days. Teach us, O Lord, to emulate you, our master. Teach us, O Lord, patience. Give us patience, Lord. Give us patience. And oh, listen, teach us thy way. You know, he taught Moses his way. He showed Moses the way. Everybody else just saw his mighty acts. And when you can look at the acts of God, that won't save you. But you know what will save you? Seeing his work. Seeing the work that he accomplished and he finished. Teach me thy way. Oh, Lord, teach me thy way, thy way. And then look what else he says here in verse 11. Lead me in a plain path. You know why he says lead me in, this is for guidance. Second thing is guidance. You know why he says lead me in a plain path? Because we're too stupid not to get in the right path. We really are. He has to make it plain. He has to make it so obvious that you cannot err. You know, he's got a way a holiness and a way of holiness that you cannot err therein. You can't stumble in this way. God's got to make the way plain. This is the way. Walk ye in it. He got to be made plain to us. You've heard that old saying, plain talk's easy understood. That's why Paul said, I use plain speech. Plain speech. Oh my. It must be plain because we're so dull. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And then he says, lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. God's enemies are our enemies. The world's God's enemy. Sin's God's enemy. Self-righteousness, God's enemy. Pride's God's enemy. But oh my, God's enemies are enemies. And we need, by his grace, to walk in such a plain way that no adversary will be able to speak reproachfully about us. Here's the third thing now. Threefold prayer. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lead me in a plain path. And then the third thing is this in verse 12. Deliver. We pray for deliverance. That word deliverance, the same word as salvation. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies. Deliver me from the will of my enemies. You know, let me give you just a few instances of that. When Satan sought Job, God didn't let him have him. God delivered him. When he left the will of Judas to the will of the flesh, we say, Lord, deliver us from the will of the flesh. And when Demas, having loved this present evil world, we say, Lord, save us from this present evil world. Oh my. Deliver me, oh God, from my will. For I tell you, even my will is an enemy. This old flesh. The worst thing we have to deal with in this world, I'm telling you, I know this, and you'll agree with me 100%. The worst enemy we have in this life to deal with is our own flesh. That's our worst enemy to deal with in this world. Us, ourselves, our flesh. And oh Lord, deliver me from my will. Deliver me from deliver me from the greatest enemy of all, myself. Oh, deliver me from my enemies. And let me tell you, there's always someone who wants to see you fall and someone who wants to see you fail. Always somebody does. And then I'll close with this. I hope I haven't taken too long. Here's the last thing, a threefold encouragement, three-chord encouragement. Look in verse 13. I had fainted. Unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, I had to believe. I had fainted unless I'd believed. I would have, you know what fainting means here? It means getting going till you cannot, you just have no strength to go on anymore. Can't go on anymore. And I had fainted unless I'd believed. You know, Paul said it like this, we're troubled yet not perplexed. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Oh, no, 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 we're not. Paul said when he was on that ship and they hadn't seen the sun for 14 days, he stood out in the middle of that ship and he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer." Now, I tell you what, they hadn't seen the sun. They'd thrown everything overboard that they could. They hadn't eaten. Paul stood up and said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. The Lord has told me, and I believe what God said." And that's what we do. We had fainted, I believe. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I believe. I believe. And here's the second thing of a prayer. Wait on the Lord, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. There's nothing. And that word wait means to be still. To wait with expectation. Wait on Him. He'll do what's right. Just wait. You say, "Well, I need to get this done. I don't know if I should do this or do that." If you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Wait on the Lord. He'll direct your path. Wait with expectation. And here's the third thing, the last thing at all. He says there in the verse, he said, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Oh, to receive, to wait, to receive. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Oh, my. Be of good courage. You know what He'll do? Just wait on Him. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the ability to carry on. That's threefold cords. I hope that's a blessing. Everything in threes. Feller by himself, got to be alone. Going to get cold. Take two people, they lay together, they can heat one another. Warm up to one another. You put the third person in it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put them together, you can't break them. Oh my, bless His name, bless His name. Our Father, praise be unto Thee. Thank You for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word, to coming into Your temple and inquiring, coming into Your face, coming into Your presence and inquiring of You. Thank You for allowing us this blessed, blessed time. Meet the needs of this dear congregation. Meet the needs of every home. Meet the needs of every heart. Meet the needs of the weakest, because Your grace, O Lord, is perfect in weakness. Meet the need. Those that are up, bring them down. Those that are down, bring them up. And Lord, help us to wait upon You. Wait on You. Oh, Lord, wait on You. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Lord. Amen, amen. Turn, I know we sing this all the time, but I love it. Turn Your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Good night, and God bless you. Oh, listen, I bought some new Bibles, and I laid one out there on the table out there. If you want to see it and you need a new Bible, they're Cambridge Bibles. They're wide margin. They just don't have the Cambridge name on them. And I bought a bunch of them for the church, and for anybody that needs